once in a generation, a voice arrives in the affairs of man that speaks the hopes and the desires of all mankind. And tonight we have such a voice.
Gee, thanks. You know, there's a lot of truth in that.
Gee, that was great. I don't think Ed McMahon could have done any better than that, do you? All right, okay. You know, one of the great things about a holiday in the media, and this is, let's face it, whether we like to admit it or not, this is media. Well, don't just nod, it is. God's sakes, you know, you can be smart all you want, but it is media. And before we go any further, what is the most important part of media today?
Right. New York, have we got a sale for you?
Fine sleep, set you free. Sleep right in luxury. Fine sleep, set you free.
Fine sleep setting you free with great Labor Day sale prices on bedding and convertible sofas all week. Pick up a copy of our newspaper circular with hundreds of incredible prices on bedding and convertible sofas, all for immediate free delivery. And enter our free sweepstakes. You can win a car, cruise for two, and lots more. Don't miss this fantastic Labor Day sale of bedding and convertible sofas all week at Klein Sleep in Manhattan, the Bronx, Yonkers, White Plains, Norwalk, Connecticut, and Ramsey, New Jersey. And remember, if you haven't seen our newspaper circular, pick one up in any Klein Sleep store. Open tonight till 9 p.m.
Klein Sleep, set you free. Spend the night in luxury. Klein Sleep, set you free.
Sweepstake details available at any Klein Sleep store.
If you're in your car heading back from the Labor Day weekend festivities,
and your kids are whooping it up,
please ask them to stifle for a minute so you can listen carefully.
Yes, because this commercial could literally save you hundreds of dollars. Listen, tonight, the Tuesday New York Daily News will hit the newsstands.
If you want to get advance information on one of the most extraordinary clothing sales in New York history for both men and women, get that Tuesday News tonight.
Find the big ad in there for Bonds. Make room for the new Bonds sale, which starts tomorrow in Bonds' giant Broadway and 45th Street store.
You'll see 50 separate categories of men's and women's clothing at savings ranging from 30% to 60%, 70%, as high as 80% and more.
Out of dozens of Bonds, 120 stores around America have come the tens of thousands of fashions included in this spectacular sale, making room for the new Bonds departments that are going into those stores.
Bonds Make Room for the New Bonds sale starts tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. at Bonds' giant store at Broadway and 45th.
If you get that daily news tonight, you'll know why you should be here before the doors open.
We have a date. See you at 8.
Oh, bring your MasterCharge Bank America card or Bonds charge.
Or cash.
Yeah, 45th and Broadway.
Bonds.
Tell the kids they can whoop it up again.
The new Loews Monte Carlo Hotel is alive with life. Watch the Grand Prix from your terrace. Dine on international cuisine in five restaurants. Enjoy international stars in the Folie Russe Supper Club. Play roulette at the only in-hotel casino on the Riviera. For reservations at Loews Monte Carlo, call 586-5099 or the Loews toll-free number in your area. Loews Monte Carlo Hotel.
Good movies, bad movies. There's lots of both kinds around. I'm Walter Spencer. I see them all, and I try to let you know which ones are worthwhile and which ones to avoid. When John Gambling and I talk about new movies every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning at 9:20 a.m. Saturdays at the same time, we review what's up for the weekend at the neighborhood and suburban theaters. That's on Rambling with Gambling right here on WOR. Until our next movie review, as they used to say in those great old Warner Brothers cartoons...
That's all, folks.
Now, that gets us back in the mood. And since this is Labor Day... I mean, what kind of a mood is Labor Day? Well, Labor Day, to me, is a depressing holiday. I don't know how it is to you. I mean, first of all, it means... I think basically all of us feel depressed at Labor Day. I mean, the idea of having 3 days off is great, but it's quite obvious nobody has 3 days off in the media. No way. I mean, radio goes, television goes, whether people are watching or listening or not. But one thing about Labor Day. This is one of those rare holidays. I would say the only other holiday that comes close to it in its curious depressive quality is the Christmas New Year syndrome. Why? Well, they are, let's say, demarcation points. It's like if you can imagine the year as a... How do you imagine the year, you personally? Do you imagine it as a circle that's marked off in little segments? June, July, or, you know, little segments around it. And you're running around his track. Do you see it that way? Or do you see it as a straight line, like a ruler? Well, what happens when you get to the end of the ruler? It's all over? Well, that's only a year, right? I mean, what happens? You turn around and start back down the ruler? Is that what you see? You see it as a straight thing, huh? Now, this is a very difficult abstract concept we're bringing out here because we're talking about how you visualize something that's non-visual, really. It's time, see? But yet you do in your own mind. You see the year a certain way. And do you see it that way? Well, a lot of people, they found that most people, now you may not follow this, you may not see it this way, but most people see the year as a kind of oval. That's right. Because, well, the reason I say this and the reason this has been found to be true, and this is not my opinion. This happens to be a thing that was, there were a lot of papers written on this in clinical psychology, people's concept of time, that if you see the world as an oval, it's like, you know, you see summer coming up again. Now, we're finishing summer here, but you're conscious of the fact that there is another summer in the future, right? It's theoretically, you're going to make it. At least you hope you'll make this next summer. Well, that's right. All of us suffer that same indecision about whether we'll ever actually make next week. We don't know, or even tonight. But the facts of the matter are that you see this summer ahead of you, and you also see winter ahead of you. But now winter, in most people's minds, is much longer than summer. Summer goes by almost before you even know it's here. Do you agree? And yet, it's a good chunk of the year. It's almost half of the year. I mean, let's face it, summer starts when, you know, the warm weather starts roughly in April, something like that. And it will continue all the way through pretty much of October. But yet, it seems very short compared to those winter months. The winter months just go on and on and on and on. Do you agree with that, Art? Now, that's why it seems like an oval. To most people, the summer is like the back stretch, or you might call it the front stretch. The winter is the back stretch, and spring and fall are comparatively short seasons. They just sort of are there. You know, fall is suddenly here and it's gone, then it's winter. Spring is here and it's gone, and summer is here. So those are the turns. So a person often sees the year is this big oval. See, he's running around this track. You know, with all the other, all of mankind, it's like a gigantic race. Thousands of them are pounding along this track. Some of them are, you know, falling by the wayside. Others are going, struggling their way. Others are doing it reluctantly. Still others are running like crazy up in the front, you know, with flags flying and birds whistling over their heads. They're running along there. And the whole, all of mankind, how many people are alive in the world today? Well, it's in the excess of 2 billion. This is WOR New York. And all of them are running against the same clock. Nobody, if you lived in India, it doesn't matter. If you live in Greenland, it doesn't matter. It has a certain finite time on Earth. And the Earth is way beyond his control. You know, the sun is moving around, and the galaxies are moving, the Earth is spinning around among the planets and all. And there's just nothing you can do to change it. And it's happening to everybody. No way it can be different. You could be as rich as you want. It still's not going to affect the orbit of the Earth. I mean, you cannot say, hey, Charlie, for God's sakes, do you know last year went at least twice as fast as it should? Let's slow it up next year. I don't care what it costs. No way. And so everybody's riding this enormous, this unbelievable, complex, unimaginable thing. Time, space, deep space, the curving of time. These are all, you know, the concepts that Einstein dealt with. Most people just don't think about this. They just keep walking around. You ask them about it. Hey, so what are you talking about? He's nothing dumb. He says, what do you want to talk about time? I'll tell you what about time. It's 6:05. You say, oh, come on. What the hell does 6:05 mean? What do you mean? Right here. I got my Timex. 6:05. Wait a minute. Has it ever occurred to you that this is an abstract concept? 6 watts. 5 watts.
What, 6 hours? That means 6 o'clock. What kind of stoop are you?
Well, the basic slob does not see anything. Archie Bunker sees nothing complex in anything. There's nothing complex in anything at all. And he even deals with death in very uncomplex terms. So you ask him about death. He says, well, I'll tell you about death. He says, when you got to go, you got to go. So his answer there. When your number's up, your number's up. He's dealt with all eternities. Well, anyway, before we go, time. Now, you take our time. When you're listening to a great story and a guy's telling you a fantastic story, time goes almost instantly. When you're listening to a commercial, it seems to go on for 3 or 4 weeks.
Just across the causeway from Miami, there's an island so beautiful we call it the Caribbean Island in Florida. Its name, Key Biscayne. And on this island is a very special resort, the Sheraton Royal Biscayne Beach Hotel and Racquet Club. On a dazzling white beach, surrounded by crystal blue waters, here you'll find luxurious rooms, private terraces, and ocean views. Continental cuisine served in elegant restaurants. 10 tennis courts, 4 lighted for night play, 2 swimming pools, and a superb 18-hole championship golf course just a drive away. A vacation at the Royal Biscayne is a refreshing experience on a delightfully informal island with all the excitement of Miami Beach nearby. Your travel agent can help you plan a Royal Biscayne hotel vacation on Key Biscayne. Or call us toll-free at 800-325-3535 for reservations and information. That's 800-325-3535.
Let's see, a couple more biggies here. At Buddy's Place, September 2nd through the 6th, Buddy Rich presents Buddy Greco, plus comedian Mike Preminger. And according to the copy here, Buddy's Place is the place to see and hear top performers and the best jazz in town. And it's on 133 West 33rd Street, fashionable neighborhood. So catch the act at Buddy's Place. The number to call is 736-2888 for reservations, and they accept most major credit cards. Are you interested in vitamins containing natural source ingredients? There is a broad line of squib vitamins containing these natural source ingredients called Golden Bounty, like cornucopia. Now available in your area. The squib name is important when you buy vitamins because you want a name that you can trust. Probably even more trusty than your name. Squib has marketed vitamin products since 1875, so they know how to do it, you know. So you make an investment in confidence when you buy Squib vitamins. It's available at your neighborhood pharmacy in New York, northern New Jersey, Long Island, Westchester, southern Connecticut, lower Slabovia, everywhere. Don't forget to tune in to this weekend's Jets football game. It'll be a ding-dong, sponsored in part by your local Squib Theragran pharmacist.
Fly Aeromexico, the airline of Mexico to Mexico soon.
Aeromexico, Aeromexico.
Aeromexico, the airline that takes you to Mexico City and on to Acapulco on El Grande, our wide-body DC-10.
Aeromexico, Aeromexico.
Aeromexico is the only airline to offer you first-run movies as well as stereophonic music on your flight down to Mexico City.
Ay, 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 ay.
And to make your trip even better, Aeromexico has over 1,000 Aeromexico quality-approved tours to Mexico. There's bound to be one just for you. See your travel agent or call Aeromexico, the airline of Mexico, and fly with us soon.
New York, have we got a sale for you.
Fine sleep, set you free. Sleep right in luxury. Fine sleep.
Find sleep setting you free with great Labor Day sale prices on bedding and convertible sofas all week. Pick up a copy of our newspaper circular with hundreds of incredible prices on bedding and convertible sofas, all for immediate free delivery. And enter our free sweepstakes. You can win a car, cruise for two, and lots more. Don't miss this fantastic Labor Day sale of bedding and convertible sofas all week at Klein Sleep in Manhattan, the Bronx, Yonkers, White Plains, Norwood, Connecticut, and Ramsey, New Jersey. And remember, if you haven't seen our newspaper circular, pick one up in any Klein Sleep store. Open tonight till 9 p.m.
Klein Sleep, set you free. Spend the night in luxury. Klein Sleep, set you free.
Sweepstake details available at any Klein Sleep store.
It's Labor Day. And to carry on the story of Labor Day, we've got to get right back at it. That you see the world as some kind of a big track you're running on. How do you see mankind? Do you see mankind as an enormous crowd and you're there jostling in the middle of it? Or do you see mankind as some concept, some gray thing off in the distance and there's just you sitting up there? How do you see it? Do you consider yourself part of mankind, Art? Well, there has been that doubt around here, too, among others, all right, about you. I must say that you're a man of unbelievable honesty about yourself. Most of us do not have that kind of honesty. But nevertheless, we see the year, you know, and as this kind of oval. Well, here's what makes this type, this holiday, this particular holiday, a depressing one. You know that they find that people, two holidays, cause two opposing emotions. The highest number of suicides in the Western world, generally, because we're the only ones that celebrate New Year's and Christmas at that particular time, comes around New Year's and Christmas. Did you know that, Art? It's a tremendous amount of suicide because there's a lot of theories about it. All kinds of theories on why, but one of the most prevalent theories is that suddenly a guy arrives at this time of year. It's New Year's. It's another year. And he's suddenly very conscious of the fact that the time is going by. He feels like he's not doing anything. His whole life is dissolving. What the hell? Whatever happened to 1968? It was just 68! What does it mean? What is it? 75? What the hell is this? You know? And he begins to feel like he's clinging to a cliff that's crumbling. And he slides up and down and backwards, and he winds up putting a shot in his head. Many do. Not all, of course. but there is an upsurge of suicides. Now, what does this time of the year do? Curious thing about this time of the year. That there's two conflicting emotions about Labor Day right at this point. There is a sense that summer is over. It's over. It may be 100 degrees next week, but we still say, do you remember last summer? Oh, wow. For some reason or other, people stopped going to the beach on Labor Day. Now, it's going to be warm for at least 6 weeks, or it's going to be warm for a couple of months. I mean, perfect weather for going to the beach, and yet the beaches will be deserted the day after Labor Day. Why? Psychological. Summer's over. What do you expect me to do? Go to the beach and where? You crazy? You know, it's 107 degrees. The guy's walking around sweating like a pig. And, you know, so he won't. It's psychological. He figures summer's over and winter is here. He's just sitting there waiting for winter to start. Now, the two conflicting emotions that hit a guy are these. And you probably experienced them. One, regret. Oh, God. Oh, what do you mean? Summer just started. I never even got to the beach once. What the hell is this? Mabel, next summer, we're not going to boot it again like we did this year. All right. In other words, summer is gone, and there's a regret that it's gone. But there is also a curious, irrational feeling of renewal. That as, it's like a new year, a new school year. It goes back to school. A lot of things, you know, when you were going to school. Yeah, immediately following Labor Day, almost all of us went back to school. And it was a traditional time to go back to school. A new grade, a new teacher, a whole new ball game. You know, I'm going to wipe the slate clean. I mean, boy, I really lost up in 5B. You know, I mean, it's 5A now, a whole new slate, and I'm starting out. I haven't even flunked nothing yet. And, you know, you go in there, it's like the big opening day of the ball season. All ball clubs are equal. Three outs later, they start to separate them. I mean, you know, the season's already going downhill for many a club, and that's the way with many a kid. All right, so you start out with this irrational belief that this year it's going to be different. Oh, boy, I'm going to do it. I wonder how many guys figure it's fall now. It's fall. And I'm going to actually write that novel this summer. This fall, I'm going to get to, and I'm going to do all these great things. I'm going to paint, you know, he's got all these great ideas. Now, by New Year's, he knows it ain't going to happen. And if anything, it's worse than last year. So, there you go. Now, here it is, Labor Day. Well, now, there's a lot of conflicting memories. I don't know whether you have any memories at all of Labor Days, but I want to tell you this. One of the most fantastic memories I have out of my childhood day involved a company picnic. It was traditional. My old man, he was always working at a place called, euphemistically, the office. He was always at the office. Did you have a father who was always going to the office? And you'd hear about this when you're a little kid. You know, you're in the kitchen there, sitting around at the kitchen table, and the old man would be talking about the office. And it gets sort of a mystical quality into the office. And it's the official world of the adult. He goes to the office. And at the office, these very important things happened all the time. And there were these people that always played a role in the stories about the office. You never saw these people, see? Unless it was at the Christmas party, once in a great while, you'd get a fleeting glimpse of Mr. Gallagher or Mr. Bullard. And the old man had these enemies, these various enemies that were at the office. He also had various good guys that were at the office, and he would talk about them. And so, you know, he'd sit at the kitchen table, and I remember him sitting there, and my mother's hanging over the sink, you know, and she's wearing her bathrobe, and she's got the water running, and she's got the meatloaf on, and it's supper time. The old man's in a bad mood, and he says, "Oh, I'm going to get out of that rat race. I got to get out of that damn office. It's driving me up the wall. If I've got to listen to that idiot Sherby once again, that guy comes in." You should have read the memo that I got today from Sherby. Well, he's talking about the mystic Sherby all the time. Now, I'm six or something like that, saying I keep hearing about Sherby. And he was constantly rotten. See, Sherby was rotten all the time in the stories. On the other hand, he would say, "Oh, you know, that Zudok really kills me. He's the funniest guy, I'll tell you. Zudok come in the other day, and Zudok sat down, and what do you think he had with him?" Zudok brought in a couple of cantaloupes in the office today, and what do you think he had the cantaloupes? He had put a little hole in the cantaloupe, and he filled the cantaloupes up with bourbon. And we sat there, you know, he's got this whole story about Zudok. Zudok was a good guy, you know, Zudok was always doing these great things, but Sherby was evil. Well, the year goes by. 2 years go by. And I'm growing up. You know, I'm now no longer five. I move through the year of six. Now I'm seven, and I'm beginning. You ever go through the period when you worry about your parents? I mean, you figure your mother's never going to live past the time when you're 10. She's going to die. And you figure father's going to die, you know, and everybody's going to die, and there's going to be poor little you struggling through. And on top of that, you also have a conflicting emotion that you're going to die, that you're never going to make 21. You had that, didn't you, Art? And if you did, you'd probably be blind, and then they'd be sorry, right? I mean, for all the rotten stuff they did. Well, here I am, you know, I'm about seven, see? And it's the end of summer, and the office, which meant about 17 million guys, because this was a major company the old man worked for, they're having a company picnic. And it's being held at the forest preserves. So we drive out there, you know, the old man's got on his, he's got on his sports shirt instead of his usual tie, you know, we're driving out his sports shirt, and my mother's got a halter. Didn't women wear a thing called a halter? Have you ever heard of a halter?
She's got on a halter. That played a role later when she got this unbelievable sunburn because of her halter. And me and my kid brother sitting in the back seat, so we drive out to this place. It was out in the country. It was called a forest preserve. And they had a PA system. I can remember they had these big poles with big speakers on the top there. And the PA system was playing music all the time. And it was mostly patriotic-type music. Like they played the Colonel Bogey March. And thousands and thousands of guys from the office or the plant. But the office had its own little thing going. See, there were two groups of guys. There were guys from what my old man called the plant. Those were mysterious guys he had very little to do with. Except that they were all universally idiots. He referred to them as, oh, those idiots in the plant. What do you expect? A guy works in the plant. Well, there were guys in the plant, and then there were guys in the office, which were composed of two groups, good guys and bad guys. You got it, right? See, there were the Sherpies, and there were the Zoodocs. Now, as a kid, I hadn't seen any of these people the first time. See? So there's thousands and thousands of people all out there, and they had tremendous long tables where they had big tubs of hot dogs, which everybody got free there, see? Hot dogs, mustard, rolls. They had great big wash tubs full of ice, which had in it knee-high orange and Coke and Pop and Pepsi and all that stuff, root beer. And, of course, all the men were drinking this beer. They had beer for the men. See, they're all walking around drinking beer. Well, you know what beer does on a hot day, especially when it's free and guys are getting maybe 30 or 40 of them an hour. Well, brief moments of excitement would break out. And they had contests for us kids, like the sack race. You know what a sack race is. You know, when you two kids get in, you put your foot in there. If there's anything I hate, it's a non-competitor getting tied up with a competitor. Now, I want to win when I do things. And there I am out there. Oh, I don't even want to talk about it. It still makes me mad. That when the gun went off, there I am with the sack. I got my right foot in the sack. And this other kid. Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what it was. There was a kid named Arvid Anderson. Arvid Anderson's got his left foot in the sack, and his father worked at the office, right? I just heard of Anderson once in a while. And my mother says, go ahead, you go ahead and race with Arvid. Poor Arvid, nobody's asking Arvid to race. So I want to win. And boom, the gun goes, and Arvid starts to giggle. He falls down. I'm dragging this slob all the way through the course with him, like, ha, ah, he's laying there. I want to win, you know, and I see these other kids going ahead, and what do you think they got? I mean, gee whiz, wow. Oh, I don't even talk about it. You know, I just skunked in a sack race. And so I came back to the hamburger joint. I'm getting a hamburger, and I'm eating a hamburger, and I'm drinking Pepsi-Cola and stuff. My kid brother's milling around. The heat is going up. And the old man comes over, and he says, come on. He takes my mother. He says, come on, I want you to meet some of the boys from the office. Oh, God, I'll never forget it. What I did. Did you ever do something in your lifetime as a kid that remained a family legend and, in fact, almost a family disaster? Not you, David. I know you never did any of that stuff. He comes from a very well-ordered Princeton life. They don't do that kind of stuff. But I can tell Art. Art's glasses are clouding up when he remembers what he did. Well, we were... Oh, listen, this was almost as bad as later when my old man found my supply of pornographic literature down in the basement in the coal bin, hid under the tires. Listen, that was something else. I'll tell you that story sometime when the kids are in bed. But nevertheless, here we are. The old man's taking us as crowds of people, thousands of people, all kinds of kids and maybe ladies and men. They had the married men versus the single men softball team, the fat men versus the skinny men. They had the plant versus the office ball team. And now we are walking along a big table. I can see it in my mind. And the old man's taking my mother, and he says, I want you to meet the... Hey, Zoodoc, come on over here. Hey. He says to my mother, hey, this is Zoodoc. You remember talking about Zoodoc, and there's old fat Zoodoc. He says, hey, listen. And he's, hey, did I tell you about the hot foot I just gave Bullet? You know, he's going on that. But, you know, Zoodoc was great. And I looked at Zoodoc. He was kind of a great guy, see, because for years I'd heard about what a great guy Zoodoc was. Well, we move on, and all of a sudden the old man says, hey, Mr. Sherby, come on over here. I want you to meet my wife. And this tall, skinny guy with a red face comes over. And he says, oh, hello there. And he takes my mother's hand. He shakes her hand. I don't know why I did it. Here I am, 7. I says, are you Sherby? He says, why, yes, little boy. My name is Mr. Sherby.
Why are you so rotten to my father at the office? He always comes home and says that you're rotten. And not only that, he says you're stupid.
Would you please bring a little martial music on? And the PA system play. I just remember my father's face was absolutely ashen, snow white. It wasn't until years later I learned that Mr. Sherby was the manager of the office. I had just told Sherby that my old man came home and said he was a stupid bum and an idiot and constantly was making these dumb moves. Out of the mouth of babes shall come indeed the truth. And the old man turns and goes, ha, 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 he's a funny kid, you know. And Sherby says, yes, he is a very funny kid. Good to see you, Shepherd. See you around. See you around. And he walks off. He was the only guy at the Christmas party later on. We just sat in the corner and wore a black suit. During the entire picnic, he wore a black suit. He always wore a black suit. I don't want to tell you what happened the rest of the day. The old man grabs my hand, yanks me down, says, will you shut up? What the hell do you think you're doing? What do you think you're talking to? That was Sherby. He turns to my mother. He says, I told you we ought to leave these kids home. I'm sitting there. That night, we rode home in silence from the Labor Day picnic. Ever since that time, whenever I hear bands playing in the distance, people tell me that it's Labor Day, I remember that sinking sensation of riding home in the Oldsmobile. The old man saying, wait till I get you home. Wait till I get you home. Thank you, Art. Hold it. I still remember the old man's ashen face when he turned. He's just a funny kid. He says funny things. Sherby didn't say anything. That red face, that black suit. There are certain kinds of people, you know, that make no concession to the climate nor the seasons. There are people who wear gray serge suits winter and summer and a felt hat on the top of the head. You see them in the elevator here. Have you seen those guys? Right, winter, summer, doesn't make any difference. They take no cognizance of the spinning sun, the moving firmament, and the orbit of the earth around, oh God, who knows how far it'll go. And now we're galloping into that short turn, the fall, and then that long back stretch, the winter. Happy, happy, happy. This is WOR New York. You stay tuned for In Conversation, okay?